Thank you very much. We're going to jump right into the main event, if you will, which is the third agenda consultation. Neely, can I ask you to take the floor to start us off and to introduce the topic?
Yes, thank you, Bill. I'm going to apologize in advance for my dog. He hears somebody in the hallway and tends to get very protective of me. But it's great to see everybody again. I know we've had a number of meetings all in quick succession, as Bill mentioned, but we really appreciate all of your insight and thought-provoking commentary. I know it's a lot of work, but thank you so much for taking time to come together again. So as Bill mentioned, today's meeting is all about the board's third agenda consultation. And hopefully you've had a chance to review the papers that we circulated a few weeks ago. So instead of going through those papers slide by slide, we'll just highlight a few things and then turn the floor over to you for discussion. Starting with Agenda Paper 2, which provides an introduction to the agenda consultation. Many of you probably realize or are familiar that the agenda consultation is a strategic exercise that the board undertakes every 5 years to determine its priorities for the next five-year period. So in this case, it'll be 2022 to 2026. And the board published its request for information in March, so just a couple months ago, with a comment period ending at the end of September. And the purpose of this request for information is to obtain stakeholder feedback on what our stakeholders think the priorities for the board should be over the next 5 years. And some of you might actually remember about 18 months ago, we had a session with the Advisory Council to seek your input on what sort of content and what sort of questions we should be asking in this request for information. And if you've had a chance to read it, you'll realize that much of the content is largely consistent with the advice that you had provided us. So thank you for that. Now, as part of the agenda consultation process, we have two requests of you. The first is today we would like your views on what the board's priorities should be. And then longer term, over the next few months, it would be very helpful if you are able to raise awareness in your jurisdictions about this agenda consultation. It's very important for us to get as broad feedback as possible to hear what the board's priorities should be. So focusing on today, and I'm just going to share my slides here. One second. We have three main objectives. The first objective is to determine the strategic direction and balance of the board's activities. The second is to determine the criteria that the board will use to assess the priority of financial reporting issues that it will add to its work plan. And the third is to determine exactly which financial reporting issues are a priority. Our plan today is to have a separate session on each of these objectives, and our focus will primarily be on that first objective, on the strategic direction and balance, with the plan of having a brief introduction and then a move to breakout sessions, and then a plan to come back and have a fuller discussion of the breakout session feedback in a plenary session. And then I just wanted to flag two more introductory comments before I pause and turn the floor over to you. The first, just to reiterate, can you see me okay, Bill?
I can.
Okay,
I can see
perfect.
You just fine, yeah.
Great. I was just trying to stop sharing there. So the two other introductory comments to flag. The first is the distinction between the board's agenda consultation and the trustee's strategic review. As you're well aware from previous meetings, the trustee's strategic review is about exploring a possible expansion in the scope of the IFRS Foundation, specifically into the role of sustainability standard setting. In contrast, what we're talking about today is the board's work and the current scope of its activities, meaning management commentary and financial statements for profit-oriented companies. And the one bit to build off of some comments that Eric, you made about the interconnectedness between the possible sustainability board and the ISB is that at this stage, we don't know what direction the trustees will go in, and it's not clear exactly what that interconnectedness could look like. However, the timing is such that by the time the ISB makes its final decisions about its five-year plan, the trustees will have advanced much of their discussion, and so we will be able to incorporate that in that interconnectedness in whatever capacity and resources are required into the board's thinking. And then the final point, just to flag, is that capacity, as you can imagine, is not infinite, and that means both stakeholder capacity as well as our internal capacity, which means we have to make some difficult prioritization decisions. And so anytime you seek for us to increase our focus or our activities in a particular area, it would also be helpful for us to understand where you think we might be able to deprioritize some of our work. And Bill, with that, I'll just pause on the introductory comments and see if anyone has any general questions or observations.
Great. Thanks, Neely. I wish I had said from the outset, and the timing of this discussion is really so important for us, the Advisory Council. We've provided quite a bit of feedback on the sustainability issue, and that has, you know, somewhat dominated our agenda, as it has the agenda of the trustees. So I'm really grateful that we've got this opportunity to remind everyone that this is really well within our remit. This is part of our mandate. I have a few questions. First, Giuseppe, and then over to Torsten. But Giuseppe, please.
Concerning capacity, I fully appreciate your comment that it is limited, and if you increase focus or energy on one activity, necessarily you have to decrease for another activity. However, this is true as a whole, considering all the resources that are available to the ISRS Foundation, its partners, and the possible synergies. And I struggle a bit more when it comes just to the board itself, because I assume that the board doesn't need to execute everything. For instance, when it comes to digital financial reporting, I assume that although the board clearly needs to maintain oversight, the question is also what other resources within the IFRS Foundation staff or even externally can be made available. So the question would be in our discussion to which consideration can be taken of external resources and the use of resources that are not necessarily within the board itself or the IFRS Foundation itself.
Neely, should I? Neely,
yeah,
I was just going
it.
To ask you. We have a few other questions. Do you want to answer them as they come up, or should we hear the other questions first? It's up to you.
Happy to take them all and then answer in together.
Okay, let's do that then. Thanks. Thank you, Giuseppe. Torsten, the floor is yours, and then we'll hear from David.
Torsten. Yes, thank you. So my question is also related to the notion of capacity. So given the limited resources and the ISB's already voluminous work plan, from the request for information, it wasn't entirely clear to me if the ISB is willing to engage in what we could call zero-based thinking or greenfield approach, that is stopping ongoing projects on the current work plan in favor of new ones.
Thank you, Torsten. David, let's hear from you, please. Kuhnberger, where is David? Do you have your mute on?
Yeah. It worked now?
Yeah.
Do you hear me? Okay, I think the questions you phrased today really reflect the strategic issues that we are looking for in the next years. So thanks a lot. I don't want to dig into more the resource constraints, but I would make the following point. You made a dichotomy at the start saying that this is now for the ISP. And this is not related to the sustainability board, and I think the opposite is true. Many of the priorities that you are raising today, like digitalization or stakeholder engagement, understandability, I think those are also questions for the sustainability board. And I think even setting up for that board would benefit from this prioritization exercise. Because it does matter whether, for example, the sustainability board also thinks about designing standards in a way that makes sense in a digitalized framework, and that can be more data-oriented as opposed to more normative than I think what accounting was typically framed in the past. And it would make sense to not just discuss IFRS development in this context, but also standard setting as a whole in sustainability, and really look into the future in a broader fashion, and consider standard setting as a whole also for sustainability.
Thank you, David. Neely, there's also we see in the chat room there's a comment, not so much a question, from Greg Peterson regarding IFRS 17, how that will be an area of major focus in the coming years. I'll give you a chance to look at it.
Yes.
Neely, over to you. We've heard about limited capacity, resource constraints. Greg has mentioned IFRS 17. What do you think?
Yep. Excellent question. So, Giuseppe, starting with capacity, there's a couple considerations with that. First is bearing in mind the capacity of our stakeholders. We are, in a lot of ways, a change agent. Every time we set new standards, it creates change in the system. Every time we publish amendments, that creates more change. Even something like digital financial reporting could create more change in the system. So we are, when we talk about capacity, we're not just talking about internal capacity, but also our stakeholder capacity. And what we've seen recently with COVID-19 and the number of consultation documents that we've published in the last year is that we've probably hit up against our stakeholder capacity. But you do raise an excellent point. There are some things that the board may not necessarily need to be involved in that perhaps some of our consultative groups could do some of the advising on that, and certainly as well some of the staff. So it really just depends on what the topic is. So if it's standard setting research, that of course due process requires that the board members are all involved in that. If it's educational materials, then our due process also requires some level of board oversight. With things like digital financial reporting, the taxonomy, again, would require some board member involvement. However, if there's more of a role to be played in terms of influencing other players to participate in this digital financial reporting ecosystem, then you're absolutely right. There are more friends that could also help with that that effort. So hopefully that answers your question and gives you a little bit of additional perspective. Thorsten, you had a question about, given limited resources, are we envisioning stopping ongoing projects? Our starting point with the agenda consultation is that whatever projects are underway, we would continue working on them. And a significant reason for that is because these projects were identified as a priority in the last agenda consultation. And typically it takes longer than that 5-year cycle for a project to be completed. So we didn't think it would be fair for somebody who said it was a priority last time to have to make that argument again. Having said that, there are opportunities throughout the standard setting process. So every time we issue a discussion paper or an exposure draft, stakeholders have the opportunity to say, you know what, this project's not going anywhere. It probably makes sense to terminate the project. And we have had situations where the board has made that decision. And then finally, there is an open-ended question at the end of the request for information. So certainly if people feel strongly on the topic, we of course want to hear that, and that will factor into the board's decision making. And then finally, David, I couldn't hear all of the question, and Bill, if you caught more of it than I did, please holler. But I think the question was really about whether some of the board's activities would also have relevance to any ISSB or sustainability board that the trustees set up. And if I understood the question correctly, the answer is absolutely. I think there's quite a bit of learning from the ISSB and the technical staff that would translate over to the ISSB, and that's where some of that interconnectedness and working together will be of benefit.
Thanks, Neely. David, I'm going to come back to you in a second because I also had some difficulty hearing, but I thought it was me. Before I come back to you, let me give the floor to Christian, who had a question. Christian, please.
Yeah, thank you, and I hope you can hear me. It is also in the relationship to the forthcoming ISSB or the Sustainability Standard Setting Board. My experience in other areas, especially in the area of audit, is that coordination efforts actually takes a lot of resources, it takes resources. And if you look on the overall resource allocation, I believe you should calculate in or take account of the fact that some board resources will have to go into that coordination efforts, whether that is 5% or something like that. But it will eventually happen because that is also the expectation of all the users. Thank you.
Yes, you're saying coordination with the ISSB or coordination with our stakeholders with the ISSB. Yeah, that's a good point.
Thank you, Christian. David? Did Neely address the point that you raised? I take that as a yes. David, we'll come back to you. But for now, over to Greg, please. Hi, Greg.
Yeah, thank you for covering the IFRS 17. It's just something that, if you're in the insurance space, it's starting to become quite topical. I was actually speaking to the UK government's approval process panel 2 weeks ago, just to show you how topical it's become, right? But the other thing is COVID-19, we're just learning the lessons from that, and I think business models are going to change quite dramatically. So how does that affect the IFRS Foundation? I think we're going to see quite rapid, we don't know where it's going to turn out, but I think the emphasis of where people focusing on the income statement balance sheet, so, accounting for working from home, change of usage of property, acceleration of tech spend, how do you accrue for that? I think the IFRS Foundation needs to keep some flexibility in its plan, because I suspect within 18 months, a whole bunch of very material issues will pop up as a consequence of business model changes post-COVID. They might, it doesn't want to be an oil tanker that can't move too quickly, to keep its relevance. It maybe needs a contingency budget. I don't know how one would think about these type of things. Anyway, that was just my thought.
Yeah, it's a great comment, Greg, and two reactions. One, absolutely, a contingency budget, I think, is good advice. The other thing I didn't flag, but I think it's worth mentioning, is that in a later session, we'll be talking about the capacity and how many more projects we can add to the work plan. And in developing that number, we have an estimate if we can add 2 to 3 large projects or 4 to 5 medium-sized projects. In developing that number, we've set aside some capacity for urgent things that might come up in the next 5-year cycle, because you can't predict that. So we already did that in the past 5-year cycle with IBOR, with additional work on IFRS 17, and with some of the COVID-19 work. And we have that similar capacity set aside just in case. So.
Good. Thank you. Thank you, Greg. And thank you, Neely. David, before we move on, just wanted to make sure your point was addressed. Going once. Okay, good. Thank you for your questions. Neely, now we are moving rapidly toward our breakout sessions. Do you want to kind of set the stage or tee it up for us for the breakout sessions?